Welcome to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, and I'm joined by Cleveland.com Tribe beat writer Paul Hoynes. Once again, we are in the press box at Progressive Field following a walk-off win for the Indians. Paul, good to see that again, huh, out of the Tribe.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I always like kind of you gauge a team's intensity by that, I think. And this is just the Indians' third walk-off win of the season. What are we, 114 games into the season?
113.
So, I mean, you know, and I think that's a product of, you know, having a big lead all the time. You know, Jason Kipnis talked about it, that, okay, if you got a 10-game lead and you're down by a run in the eighth inning and you don't get it, you don't rally, and you lose, you're 9 games. Your lead is down to 9 games. So I think that's, you know, I think there's some motivation factors that these guys have got to kind of fool themselves. They've got to pinch themselves. They've got to, you know, kind of push themselves. And I, Mike Clevinger, who pitched very well tonight, said, you know, we've got to think past the divisional lead. We've got to take every game almost like it's our last game and play it that way. And you saw that tonight. And, you know, the Kipnis and Guy are getting, you know, two big hits in the ninth inning, and then Frankie coming through, you know, with the three-run homer down the line. And, you know, that it's so much fun. It energizes, I think, a team. You know, it really kind of, you know, it gets this team pointed in the right direction.
Well, and you think back to the 2016 World Series team, and that's a team that had, what, 11 walk-off wins in the season. It seemed like every night they were coming out and producing these thrilling finishes. Again, they weren't necessarily pushed either. They clinched in late September, but you know, it was pretty much a given that they were going to win the division as right. They got later in the year. So, yeah, they're going to have to find some sort of outside motivating force. Maybe a media member will write a story about them being out of it or something. Something along those lines might happen. It's weird to say that these guys are professionals, and yet that motivating factor is going to have to come from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to come from them, you know. I mean, they've got to create their own kind of environment to, you know, win. They got to take that, you know, us against the world attitude. And, you know, right now they're just kind of, it's, you know, the old baseball word, they're lollygagging, you know. Like, you hate to use that word when a team has a 10-game lead. But, you know, I think we're going to see a different kind of ball club going down the stretch here, Joe.
Well, and you know, Mike Clevinger mentioned in the postgame today, Mike Clevinger hasn't won a game in 6 starts. He's got a couple of no decisions. Took a real bad no decision tonight because he pitched well enough. He deserved better than what he got tonight. We can get into Cody Allen, you know, later on in this podcast, but Mike Clevinger has really given the Indians that number four starter. You know, he's the ideal number four starter right now. He's given them 6 innings every time he's going out. He's keeping them in ball games for the most part. And Terry Francona mentioned, you know, today he said he thinks that Clevinger's been outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, he gives you a quality start. You know, he's lost, what, 4 of his last 5 starts, maybe 4 of his last 6 starts now. He hasn't won in a while, but he keeps you in the game. And, you know, he's dealt with a lot of weird stuff. You know, he was cramping it up, I think, in a 1 game. Then he, you know, in Detroit, he was pitching with, you know, after a night of, you know, of intestinal turmoil, as Tito would say. He, you know, they didn't know if he'd start, and he gives him 5 good innings. He loses that game, what, 2-1 or 1-0, mm-hmm. Nothing, some crazy score. And tonight, he pitches his tail off. He's got a 2-1 lead when he leaves the game, and after 7 strong innings, you know, they give it up. You know, Cody Allen comes in, gives up the home run to Sano. It's tied up in the ninth, and they come back and win it. And instead of a win, he gets a attaboy, you know, a pat on the back and a hang with them. But I think, you know, it's interesting with him. He's kind of, you know, this guy should have been pitching in the 60s, mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Everything's groovy, man. Yeah. Everything's groovy with Clive.
And I think, you know, he said, you know, I've learned to accept You know, that I might give up a couple bad pitches, give up a run here or there. But, you know, if I keep going, keep coming back to where I was, I'm going to put zeros up again and we'll be fine. You know,
who's the pitcher? You've been doing this for a long time. Who's the pitcher who would go and trash a locker room after a no decision like that, after a teammate gave it up and, you know, he'd go up the tunnel and just punch a light bulb or something?
Bert Blyleven would. Bert Blyleven.
And it's funny, we're playing the Twins today. Bert's in the house.
Yeah, Bert did not take kindly to, you know, to no decisions or 1-0 losses. They kind of grated on him.
All right, well, we're going to jump into some reader questions we solicited on Twitter. We've got a couple of really good ones. The first one that we're going to get to is along the lines of what we've just been talking about. James Unger asks on Twitter, who do you think should be the closer for the Indians? And I think after tonight's performance, the writing is pretty much on the wall for Francona. He had things set up exactly the way he wanted them. The left-handed hitters were presented in the eighth inning. He brought out Brad Hand, thinking get through those guys and bring Cody Allen in the ninth, and Cody Allen couldn't hold the lead.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Cody was going to be the closer even when they got Hand. You know, obviously that changed because, you know, Cody was struggling, and now they've switched it around a little bit. I think the key here, Joe, is Andrew Miller. How effective can he be in influencing the last three innings of a game? But I still think, you know, I'd be surprised if Francona goes with strictly Hand in the ninth inning, or, you know, those four out saves that we've seen. I think he's still going to flip flop these guys. I really do. And, you know, Cody had a, you know, obviously he gave up the lead. He blew a save. But, I like the way he's pitched in the eighth inning and in the seventh and eighth innings lately. And I think he's coming back, but he made a bad pitch tonight. It killed him.
And how much do you buy Francona's offering that he's been trying to use Allen earlier in games to sort of get those competitive juices flowing? Because that's when he's the best, is when he's out there competing. Well, I mean, a one-run lead, that's a competitive position. And the leadoff guy just took you out of the park. It doesn't get much more competitive than you're three outs away from a save, and are the competitive juices not there? I don't get that. Something doesn't, you know, line up when that's the case. I think he's basically talking himself into being able to put Allen in those seventh and eighth inning positions as opposed to the.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. You know, I think. You know, Cody is, you know, we've seen him do it year after year here. He's a franchise leader in saves, strikeouts, appearances for a reliever. You know, I don't know if all those appearances have caught up to him. And I just think, you know, when you struggle in the ninth inning and you're not guaranteed to be back in the ninth inning, you know, even though you've struggled, you've blown a save, you know, when you get that chance, I think you might get, you know, too amped up, and I think it might get away from you. And I think, you know, this is really going to be a tightrope walk for Francona, I think. How does he do this?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a set answer right now who's going to close. I mean, you could say, yeah, Hand is going to close, but is he going to, what, is he going to just, what if there's four right-handers in the ninth inning? You know, and he can get, I mean, we saw tonight he got right-handers out. So it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds.
Yeah, if nothing's wrong physically with Cody Allen, and we haven't been told anything otherwise, then it's all between his ears right now, and that's the scary part, is that Cody Allen's going to get a chance to run out there in the eighth or ninth inning in a divisional playoff game, probably in Minute Maid Park, with a short left field porch to a right-hand hitter, and that's right now, that is a terrifying prospect.
Yeah, you know, that is. I just keep going back, you know, when I think of Cody, I think of, you know, 2016, I think of the postseason where, you know, Andrew Miller got, you know, the spotlight, and this guy didn't give up a run in 11 innings of postseason, you know, pitching at the back end of, you know, in tight games. And is that guy still there? I think he is. I really do. I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna as they get down the stretch. I think he's gonna perform like we've seen him perform before.
Okay, let's go quick hit with some of these. Matt Wells from Twitter. He has two requests. Do you have a do you have any Sheldon Ocker story that's fit for print right now? And you know, of course, Sheldon went into the Hall of Fame with the J.G. Taylor Spink Award. A couple weeks ago, anything you can share a quick Sheldon memory.
Sheldon Ocker spilled everything. There were he could you and me could be sitting here just like we are now. He'd have a drink right here, and somehow he'd knock it over. Ricky Minch, one of the Indians' early PR guys, his job in the press box was when Sheldon put down a glass of iced tea or what water or whatever he was drinking, it was to make sure Sheldon didn't knock it over. He would be moving it back and forth, and invariably, he would knock something over. It would cause like a tidal wave. Everybody's computer would get soaked. But
how many scorebooks did you lose to? Yeah, to Sheldon's misfortune.
I was always on the lookout. But even now, like kind of in his honor, in Goodyear on the blackboard in Winterhaven, Bart Swain writes days without spills. You know, one like 220
or nice. One.
So yeah. Awesome. He's gone, but not forgotten.
Great. Matt Wells also wants to know any educated guesses on where Zach McAllister ends up. He was released today by the Indians after being designated last week. Any thoughts on where Z-Mac could end up?
Boy, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. We were talking before if he ends up somewhere in the Central. You know,
funny thing. Matt Wells hails from St. Paul, Minnesota. So
yeah,
there
maybe,
you go.
You know, I mean, they've seen him. They've seen him the most. You know, I think. Zach pitched for 5 years, and you know he's got more than 5 years big league time, and that's a credit to him, man. Because when the Indians first got him, he was a starter, and he just didn't have enough pitches to start, and they, when they moved him to the bullpen, he became the right-handed guy. You know, he threw hard, he could get a right-hander out, he could strike a right-hander out when you needed it. He obviously needed a second pitch or a third pitch, and it really. He's had trouble developing that, but in 16 and 17 he was good.
Yeah.
This year he struggled, and he obviously got caught in a numbers game. But I would think maybe the Twins, maybe the Reds. The Reds kind of have a tendency to pick up Indians relievers.
Yeah, it makes spring training interesting.
Yeah,
yeah, it's amazing that he lasted as long as he did with the Indians. With one pitch.
Right, and
just, a plus pitch, a plus
right,
fastball.
But exactly. It just goes to show you, how Francona used them. You know, they picked spots for him, and he excelled, but it caught up to him this year a little bit.
Okay, Rex on Twitter wants to know any issues that you could see being in the way of the Indians trying to trade for Starlin Castro. Castro went from the Yankees to the Marlins in the Giancarlo Stanton deal. Obviously, there were a lot of teams between the Marlins and the Indians on the waiver wire,
right.
So working any sort of deal right now would probably be pretty difficult.
Yeah, I think so. I think right now, I'd be surprised if they made a move at second base. I think they're kind of, they're sticking with Kipnis, I would think. I don't know how much what Castro's, what's he making? I mean, how long has he signed? I thought he signed a pretty big deal with the Cubs, didn't he, a couple years ago? And so I don't think they're in a position to take on a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what kind of year he's having. So.
And that might be the most telling sign of all is that if he's not being talked about as a guy who's an improvement over what you got there, Kipnis has been hitting.
Yeah.
Lately,
he got a big hit tonight.
Yeah, he's on base at the end of the game.
But it sounded like they were talking about second baseman before the deadline. That Ian Kinsler's name came up, so that leads me to believe they still might be looking. So I guess anything is a possibility. We've seen him make waiver deals before, but like you said, Joe, I think first you got if he's in Miami, so he's got to go through the National League. Then he's got to go through what? At least 15. Or, I mean,
12 teams.
In the American League before the Indians would get a shot.
Maybe not 12. Maybe like 10 or 11, because obviously the Indians have a worse record than half of the wild card teams too. Patrick Paulus on Twitter wants to know, why isn't Yandy getting more at-bats in the majors? He says he's looking at Guyer, and even Kipnis playing in the outfield. They played Santana in the outfield when they had him. So obviously they're willing to sacrifice defense for certain guys. Is Yandy just that bad? To me, I think Francona said that he wants to keep Yandy on the infield now.
Right.
He's too much moving him around, gets in his head and all that other stuff. But, there's got to be an opportunity for a guy who hits as well as he does to, when he comes up, or he hit 500.
Yeah, I mean, he hit 500 and get sent down. But I think, I saw him play left field a couple years ago in Toronto. It was not pretty. and I think Francona said that. We saw he wasn't real good in left field when they played him out there. So you don't want to, he could be worse in right field. So I think, their plan is at third base and play him at third, and he's worked out at first base. I think he can hit. I would think, Yandy would probably be up here in September, and this coming winter, I think it'd be a big off season for him, and just see how this roster shakes out after, all the free agents they have. Maybe there's a spot for him. But right now, you've got Edwin signed for one more year. Mm-hmm. You've got Alonso signed for one more year. And Ramirez isn't going anywhere. Right. So where do you play this guy? I mean, right. That's the question.
The quote-unquote bipolar tribe fan on Twitter tweeted a question asking about parallels between this year's team and the 97 team that went to the World Series. After 112 games, the 97 club was 58-54. So, this team's ahead of that pace.
Yeah.
Again, this team doesn't have to win 100 games to make the playoffs. They're in a good spot there. But it seems like both teams had a lot of talent, and they just sort of, as this reader says, clodhopped through the season almost like they were bored. So it gets back to what we were saying earlier about motivation, but maybe somebody needs to pull their socks up.
Yeah, maybe that's the year. Yeah, that was a good team. Matt Williams at third base, Tommy at first. They had some questions. Tony Fernandez was at second base. Omar at short, and they had who the hell?
Manny Ramirez.
Manny. They had Sandy behind the plate. They had Marquise Grissom mm-hmm. playing center field. I think David Justice was
Justice on that team.
And the pitching staff. What Oral and Martinez were kind of on the back end of.
Martinez wasn't there.
But Oral was gone.
It was Jarrett Wright, Chad O.J.
and Chad and Nagy was there.
Nagy was there.
Yeah, and they had. They had some problems with the closer, remember? Because that was the year Mesa got arrested
mm-hmm.
at the start of the season. He wasn't in camp because his trial was going on, and Mike Jackson was closing. Mike Jackson had a good year, but then they kind of were flip-flopping back and forth with Mesa and Jackson. I don't know if there's any similarities. I would say, this team is a really good offensive team, I think. We just haven't seen the best of them.
Right. Well, I start with the fact that there's no comparison between the starting staffs of those
right.
teams. That there is just no comparison. This starting staff is as good as any starting. This is sort of the reason that those 97 and 95 teams were the reason why the focus was to get a starting rotation like the Indians
right.
have now. So, because it was always the case that they had the offense, but the pitching
right.
was never,
That's
really
a great point, because if you can get this team into the postseason, I mean, and they're going to get there,
mm-hmm.
and these four starters or three starters, whoever combination they go with, are healthy and sound, I mean, they're going to scare a lot of teams. I mean, it doesn't matter who they really play.
If you pushed the button and started the playoffs tomorrow, this is the best Indians starting rotation for the playoffs that they've had since...
Yeah, I mean, 54, maybe.
Right, so exactly. That's exactly how far back you have to go. So, yeah, I mean, you can compare positions, and the offense was great. You've got all-time sluggers and whatnot playing on that 97 team, but I'll take the spark plugs at the top of this lineup any day over, you know, any of those past teams.
Yeah, Lofton wasn't on.
Lofton didn't hit home runs like Lindor. And
Ramirez.
Lofton was a, you know, he'd get on base and he'd steal your bases and he was a hit machine.
Yeah.
But nothing like what we've seen with Lindor with the power combination of power. It's just...
And I think, you know, they had the experience last year where they got kind of shut down, both those guys, Lindor and Ramirez. I think that's going to help them this season, this postseason. I don't think that's going to happen again.
That was the theme in all of the preseason talk. And every time we talked to these guys at, you know, in the winter at the sports awards or wherever we bumped into these guys and talked, all they talked about was learning from that, you know, the experience of basically not showing up except for one at bat in the Yankee series last year. So, all right. Well, so we head out after this podcast will air on Thursday or post on Thursday, and the Indians are going to head out on the road, Chicago and then Cincy. They play like 13 of their next 16 games away from Progressive Field. So,
yeah,
you know, pretty decent chance to sort of, you know, see what they're...
And then they got Boston in that stretch, right?
On the back half of that stretch, yeah.
Right, yeah. So that'll be, you know, they'll get out of their division. They'll see the best team in... You know, maybe... I guess they have the best team
in baseball.
Yeah, so they'll get to test themselves there. If they're looking for a test, I think that'll be a pretty good one.
Yeah. Maybe the motivation comes there. Martinez, Ramirez. Oh, can't wait to see how they just totally downplay Jose Ramirez's MVP candidacy when he goes there against
these guys,
Betts and Martinez.
You look at this team. I mean, Lindor and Ramirez got to be in a conversation.
You have two MVP candidates and two Cy Young candidates on the same team.
I know. I mean,
and yet Boston's got two MVP candidates and probably two Cy Young candidates on the same team. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It'll be a good series.
You can't.
And, but they've got to, you know, maybe this win tonight, Joe, gets them going. Maybe that gets them on the right track. I think, you know, walk-off wins do that, I think. So we'll see how they come back tomorrow. You know.
All right, so mark it down. August 8th, 2018, Paul Hoynes says, this is the walk-off win that sparks it. And if it isn't, he's going to jump into like, no, we're done. All right, guys, we'll wrap it up for this week's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.